To boldly go where no one has gone before. We're now in the second week of our six-week series of messages in the book of Acts, specifically chapter 10. So all you need to do is to stay in Acts chapter 10 over the course of the next few weeks, and you'll be okay. You'll be fine, and together we'll unpack this meaningful message from God's Word with one another. But let's pray together this morning. God Almighty, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it contains so much that applies to our lives. We may say to ourselves that we're modern people, that we live in the 21st century, but we know, Lord, that your Word is true in season and out of season, that it applies to ancient people as well as to us moderns. We know that when we think that we have this life all figured out, life has a way of humbling us and reminding us that it is you that we need in great abundance in our life. So help us to turn to your Word frequently and often. Help us, Lord, to make a good habit of opening its pages, having a quiet moment, reading, studying, and listening to what your Spirit is saying to our hearts and how your Spirit is directing our lives. Might we learn often and frequently from it, especially now from all of these truths contained in Acts chapter 10, as we tune into your strategic plan that you have for us as followers of your good news. These things we ask and pray, knowing that you never ever let us down, gracious Lord. And all the people of God said, Amen. We are, as I said, considering a model for strategic planning for the church and for our lives that I developed and shared with our strategic planning team. It is very important that we learn something about each of the six parts associated with this model. And the first part, which we considered last week, was all about prayer. For there is no strategic plan that can be developed in the life of the church or even in our own lives without prayer. Prayer is foundational. We know that that's where we start and that's where we grow from. So say this with me this morning. We're going nowhere without prayer. We're going nowhere without prayer. Amen. You said that so enthusiastically. I appreciate that. And so prayer is our very first step in our six-step process of strategic planning within the life of our church. Now, my friends, I know that you are praying for our strategic plan here at St. John's. Yes, Pastor Daniel, in my prayers, I'm lifting up our congregation and our strategic plan that God has in store for us. And I know that you're also praying for the strategic planning team, for Nancy and Jan and Mary and Judy and Jack and Becky and Tim by name, praying for them. I believe that you are. So this week, we're going to focus on verses 17 to 35. And you'll notice one of those change-ups within your Sunday bulletin was that we don't have the scriptures listed there or printed out any longer, unless you have a large print copy. So we're encouraging you to go to the page number for your pew Bible to look up and reference the particular passage of scripture that we're sharing together in. Now, I know that you have all read Acts chapter 10, haven't you? Yes, Pastor, we have all read Acts chapter 10. Because, as I said, that's the only chapter of the Bible that we're going to be spending time in over the remaining 4 weeks now, with this being our second message. And so I'm calling today's message, Boldly Going Where No One Has Gone Before. And you all know that phrase, don't you? It's a phrase that we're familiar with from the Star Trek series where William Shatner, Kirk, would introduce every show with these words, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. It's a 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Did I do that well? Was that pretty good? Okay, I think I did that pretty good. Well, today, when we think about Kirk, which, by the way, is the Scottish word for church, right? Yes. We need to pay attention to how theology is layered into our broader culture. Kirk and Spock and all of their many adventures, when we think about that show, when we think about the subsequent movies, well, we may reminisce. But in many ways, the ancient church was not dissimilar in its mission to the futuristic voyages of the Starship Enterprise. For the ancient church was conceived by Jesus to boldly go where no disciple had ever been before. And that's wonderful. You see, when Jesus forgave the woman taken in adultery, he was boldly going where no one had gone before. She fully well expected a stoning, and she didn't get it that day because Jesus took all of those angry men and he took them to a place boldly that they had never been to before. Amen. When Jesus told the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, "Rise, take up your mat and walk," he was boldly going where no one had gone before, cutting through all of our complaints and excuses and empowering us to rise up for him. When Jesus taught Nicodemus that you must be born again, Nicodemus, don't you know this? He was boldly going with his teaching in a way that no one had gone before. Because even Nicodemus, who was learned, scratches his head and says, "I don't get this. I don't understand it." Well, Jesus took him into a bold place that he, as a learned academician, had never been to before, and his eyes were opened. When Jesus healed the Gadarene demoniac, one of my favorite messages, my favorite stories from the Bible, he was boldly going where no one had gone before. Because this man, this demon-possessed man there in the region of Gadara was running around the tombs naked, and the townspeople said every time we put him in chains, he breaks the chains, and we're afraid and we're frightened of him, and Jesus marches himself right into the devil's territory and takes this man by the hand and liberates and frees him. And Jesus says these wonderful words to him, "Go home. Go home." That's bold. When he turned over the tables of the money changers, he was boldly going where no one had gone before. When he was silent before Pilate, because I don't know about you, but anytime I get accused of something, I usually start readying and preparing my defense, you know? But Jesus went boldly where no one had gone before. As the Old Testament scriptures say, like a lamb is silent before its shears, so our Lord was silent before Pilate. And when he burst forth from the tomb, he boldly and bodily went where no one had gone before. Now, to boldly go where no one had gone before might be a pretty big claim, considering that the influence of the Roman Empire, Jesus' world, spread from Britannia in the west all the way to Syria and Iraq in the east, to Morocco and Egypt in its south, the north of Africa. It might also be ambitious, considering that the empire of Alexander the Great stretched from Greece to Russia to Iran and Egypt, vast swaths of territory. But Jesus here was not talking about a land grab when he took his followers into those bold places that no one had ever gone before. He was not talking about climbing the Himalayas as Alexander the Great had done, or traversing the sub-Sahara deserts. The place that Jesus wanted his church to conquer was here. The human heart. Now that truly is going where no one had gone before. And the church is succeeding. Make no mistake about it. Christianity is the largest faith on the planet with 2.2 billion followers and its strident growth in many places in the world. Despite rampant persecution that's going on in the 21st century, it is still growing by leaps and bounds, expanding and multiplying more greatly than ever. And so what is important at the end of the day is not so much about what country Christianity is living in, but whose hearts Christianity is living in, and the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It takes courage and boldness to enter into another life, wouldn't you say? And that's what Peter was doing here in the book of Acts, chapter 10, as he was entering into Cornelius' life. And I love the text there because it says, you know, Cornelius got his whole family ready for St. Peter's arrival, for Peter's visit there. He got the whole family ready. They were so excited for Peter's upcoming visit. It takes courage and boldness to enter into the heart and life of another person. In truth, there are some hearts that have never been visited by the good news of Jesus Christ, and those hearts need to hear. Jesus said, "I have come to what? To seek and to save the lost." Can you hear His vision, His mission? I have come to seek and to save those that are lost. But there is a problem when we boldly go where no person has gone before. And that problem is that sometimes we don't want to go. We don't want to go. We are all a little bit like reluctant Jonah out of the Old Testament. We don't want to voyage. We don't want to embark. We don't want to sail. We don't want a journey. We just want to stay tied up to the dock all day, if you will. We don't want to sail. We don't want a journey. Even when the most beautiful sailing days, like today is a beautiful sailing day, wouldn't you agree? Beckons us forward, beckons us on. We just want to stay there tied up to the dock. Why? Simply because we somehow or another want to keep all of this good stuff, this good news to ourselves, and we are so reluctant to share it with others. And because we are not bold enough to open up to share with others, we somehow think that God also, in some strange way, thinks like us and is closed off. But that's an aberrant psychology that quietly believes that because I am stuck in my ways, that God must be stuck in God's ways too. You know? Because I have, for whatever reasons, a lack of willingness to share, that somehow or another that must posit, or somehow that must mean that God has an unwillingness to share God's good news with us. And we know that nothing is further than the truth. But this morning, my friends, I must tell you this. Up on Simon the Tanner's rooftop in Joppa, Peter was rather stuck in his ways. He was. God was speaking to his heart about doing something that he had never done before. And stubborn old Peter wasn't going to budge. He kept questioning God, you know, pushing back. God said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "No, no, no, I'm not going to do this." Being stubborn. And I can call this one because I am as German, if not more so than anyone else in the sanctuary here this morning. Being stubborn, my friends, is not a badge of honor. Maybe I'm getting to it now. What Acts chapter 10 teaches us is that stubbornness, like Peter was having up there on the rooftop, and being unreasonable does not lead the church to growth. You might think it does. I'll close myself off. I'll be stubborn. Nobody's going to change me. You know, God's been there and done that. He did it with Peter up on the rooftop two millennia ago. God's an expert in opening up people that don't want to be opened up. And that includes you and me. Well, how do I know this? Because Because God wanted the Gentiles, if you flip back a few chapters to Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, the text says there that all of these people were gathered in Jerusalem, and they were from places like Rome, they were Parthians and Medes. They were all wanting to join into the church, to be included, to be grafted in, as St. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 11, into the promises of God. But Peter, in his stubbornness, "I'm not having any of it. You asking me to do something that I've never ever done before. And so his feet were dug in. Now, here's one thing that I know is true. And you can challenge me on this if you wish, you know, in the Sunday sermon debrief down there in the chapel after worship. You can challenge me on this. But here's one thing that I know that is true. God's going to get God's way. God's going to get God's way. God will shoot down, close down, go around, jump over, or do whatever is necessary to accomplish His will. Why? Here's why. Because lives are at stake. That's why. It isn't an exercise in theological semantics. Lives are at stake. That's what the book of Jonah teaches us. Lives are at stake. Now, if you or I think that our objections, our resistances, our stubbornness or closed-mindedness is greater than God's ability to love a lost human soul, we are wrong. God's love for lost people trumps any objection that we have at any time, in any place, always. St. Paul says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ," 2 Corinthians 10:5. And so the upshot of Acts chapter 10 is that God wants fresh insights that connect lost people to God's love. And the only way that this happens is if we follow what God is asking us to do, as God was asking Peter to follow Him. Be bold. When God asked Peter to visit a centurion, Cornelius, Peter was out of his comfort zone. Oh, yes, he was. Yep. And in truth, sometimes we got to get out of our comfort zone in order for God to show us what is on His heart and mind. You see, our comfort zones, and I'm not talking about the Wrecker and Burger type, our comfort zones can be both good and they can be bad. A comfort zone that gives us some order and regularity in life can be a good thing. I know people in their comfort zone that go grocery shopping every single Saturday without fail. You know, mighty floodwaters would have to come to prevent them from going to the grocery store on a Saturday. You know, they're just sort of that set in their ways about that's what I got to do on a Saturday, you know. I had someone in my last congregation, you know, every Saturday it was Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's, that's where they went. I know of people that always go to the gym on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Doesn't matter what's happening, that's when they go, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I know a lot of people that always, without fail, walk their dog when they get home from work. Happens without fail, doesn't matter what's going on, what text messages are coming in, it's time to walk the dog. I know of some people who always call their mother on a Sunday. Yeah, that happens. They always, without fail, call their mother on a Sunday. I know some people that are always in bed by 10 o'clock. You know, the world could be coming to an end. It doesn't matter. I'm going to bed, you know. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm going to bed, you know. That's it. I'm just calling it, you know. You know, these are great and wonderful comfort zones. And then there are the not-so-good things that we get comfortable with, like sleeping with your makeup on. So that's for the girls, guys. Okay, that one wasn't, you know unless you're a guy, you wear makeup, I don't know. Or spending too much time with social media. And I've known myself to fall prey to this one every once in a while, snacking when you're not really hungry. Yep. Or skipping breakfast and then binge eating you know, later on in the day, I won't ask for a show of hands. It's okay. You know, you can chuckle and laugh quietly to yourself. I won't point you out. Or perhaps going to the Horseshoe Casino, when there's no money to go there with. Or maybe taking medications that you don't really need. But the worst thing that we can get comfortable with in some weird way is believing that other people do not deserve a shot at hearing God's good news. That's the worst thing that we could ever get comfortable with. In Acts chapter 10, God is challenging Peter to boldly go where he has not gone before. Every congregation that gets strategic planning must digest into its system fresh and new insights, places that has never been to before, or it will perish. I now realize, says Peter, how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Verse 34. And this process of gaining fresh, new insights has got to happen, my friends. Let me lay it out before you here. It's got to happen quickly. What does Cornelius say in verse 33? He sent for Peter immediately. And when Peter gets the message, Peter wants to go without hesitation. He sent for Peter immediately. Churches that grow and thrive are those that just get out there and start doing ministry. Ooh, there are no forms to fill out, my friends, in triplicate. There are no 1-800 numbers to call, no rule book to consult except the Holy Bible, no consultant to put on a payroll, no panel of judges to appear before who are going to hold up cards, you know, judging us one way or another. Churches that grow and thrive exponentially are churches that have a culture of the immediate. The immediate. Turn to your neighbor next to you and say the word immediately. Immediately. Turn to them and just say, immediately, immediately. Now everyone say with me, now everyone say with me, let's not wait. Let's not wait. Amen. Let me tell you what this might feel like for God. Ever stand in the checkout line? This just happened to me. Oh, yeah. Ever stand in the checkout line? And you've got one item in your hands, you know? You're thinking to yourself, I'm just going to dart over to Kroger or Meijer or my favorite place to shop. I'm just going to go in. I'm going to get that gallon of milk. How many of you have been there? Yeah. And furthermore, you're thinking, I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to do this very quick. I'm just going to, where's the closest parking spot? I'm going to get in that parking spot right there. I'm going to go in. I'm going to get that gallon of milk really, really quick. And then so you go and grab your milk or your box of cereal or you know, whatever kind of comfort food that you like to have. And you grab that and guess who's in line in front of you? Somebody with this billowing, burgeoning shopping cart filled with $500 worth of groceries. And there you stand with your one little item saying, please, God, please. You know, they say that the people of God, you know, that they're not very... I challenge that. You know, when you're in a supermarket line and you're in that situation, you're behind somebody with all those... You know, we all turn to prayer really quickly, don't we? Please, please, God, please, I got this one item, Lord God, and I want to get through, you know, and the worst thing is that person with a full shopping cart, you know, they turn around to you and they go, you know, like that. Like, I'm not letting you pass for nothing. Anybody else been there? Am I the only one that has, like, suffered through this kind of persecution of the modern day era? I mean, I don't know. Of course you have, I think. And you know what God does? When God is in that kind of situation, God goes and gets himself in another line. Because there are some things within the kingdom of God that God is not going to wait around for, my friends. God's going to get in another line and God's going to get checked out and God's going to get going with his day. Okay? And not standing there waiting while we cogitate and consult and think through on end. No, God, our God is a God that's on the move, you know? Friends, Cornelius couldn't wait around forever, and neither will this world wait around for us. I wonder, my friends, how many souls have been lost while the church sits around figuring out what it's going to do.
how many souls have been lost. Friends, I got to tell you something this morning. When the strategic plan within this congregation develops, when they develop the vision and the mission of this church in consultation with all of you, you know what we're going to do? We're going to act on it. We're going to act on it. We're going to act on the vision and the mission. We're not going to bind it. We're not going to shelve it. We're not going to forget. We're going to act on it. Yes? We're going to act on it. And that's so exciting. Strategic planning, my friends, is being conducted. It's being conducted to take us somewhere, just as God took Peter on a 2-3-day journey to get up to Cornelius' house. I'm telling you, St. John's, I know it. I can feel it in my bones. This is your hour. This is your moment. Carpe diem. God ain't going to wait around. God's going to go use some other church, you see, like a Crossroads or a Saddleback or someplace like that to go get done what God needs to get done if we wait too long. This world is as hungry and as impatient for God's good news as Cornelius was. And I don't know about you, but I ain't going to make them wait. Are you? Amen.